Room Finder by Carl Andreessen. Chapter 2, Smoke from the Stacks. Gray smoke hung in the room like a ghost caught between heaven and hell. Looking at the boss across the table was close to looking the devil in the eyes. The boss had brains, at least more than his orc thugs that did his bidding. From across the large oak table he looked contemplative and wicked under his old brimmed hat. The red glow from the end of his cigar reflected from the back of his shallow eyes. Orcs could see in the dark better than most, but the boss could look right through you if he wanted. At least it felt that way. Four orcs were in the dim-lit room. The boss sat behind the desk with a menacing-looking orc sitting in the chair across from him. Two others stood at the door with their arms behind their backs. The hissing and clanking of machinery rumbled outside. The boss sat back in his large chair, but was still so big compared to most of the other orcs that he looked as though he were sitting in a child's school desk. His long black hair was pulled into a braid down the back of his pinstriped suit. He insisted on wearing suits and looking respectable.
"I've been thinking about this town, Shiv," said the boss.
Smoke puffed out his curled nostrils. He referred to the orc as Shiv in a sort of demeaning, but still casual way. Shiv didn't mind because with all the bio upgrades installed in his body, he was part orc and part machine. He was walking death.
"What's on your mind, boss?" answered Shiv.
He was careful not to stare him in the eyes for too long.
"We've made Zug Island our center of operations. For 2 months we've been waiting for the right time. Time to fire up these stacks and put the boys to work.
The elves will know what they're doing. Their reconnaissance is always watching. They could stage a preemptive attack on the island."
"Nobody can touch us here. With water all around this place, there's nothing but tracks going out to downtown. We've got two choices. One, we stay here and let those pointy-eared elves starve us out of food and money. Two, we get this place running, make us some gear, and then this whole town is ours."
"We've already got the underground running good, boss. Why fight the elves now?"
"The elves won't stop. I figure once they get done in the downtown, they're gonna make us like big dumb slaves. I'm no slave, you got that?"
"Yes, boss."
"This is how it all works. The elves have all the money, but they don't like to get their hands dirty. They need something done that they don't want to touch, they call me. We handle the problems by any means necessary. We do our job, and once a month we get supplies ferried down the river that we can survive on. But there's a problem with that system."
"I understand. We are slaves to the elf type. If we don't stand up for ourselves, then we are nothing."
"I want to see smoke coming from these stacks by the end of the week. Everybody downtown is going to see that something's going on down here, so I want you to let me know what the word is on the street. Do what you got to do and bleed what you got to bleed, but if somebody wants to come in my house, I want to know when they plan on coming."
"Yes, boss."
"Word came to me that some poppy pushers are making a delivery of an item that isn't poppies. You catch my drift?"
"Yes, boss."
Shiv stood from his chair, a hydraulic-sounding movement. He had so many modifications inserted into his large body that there was a mechanical sound with every step. The technology was somewhat new when he decided to get the upgrades, but to him it was a necessity. Shiv was just less than 7 feet tall, but for orcs he was a runt. He was more slender and not as physically capable as the others, This became more evident to him as the orc clan formed and became more organized. The pecking order was formed and Shiv was about to get weeded out. There were those who were important to the cause, and those who were too stupid or physically limited to do anything important. Those not included in the clan family were meant for support purposes. Swinging hammers, pushing shovels, and that sort of thing was not on Shiv's list of things to do. Shiv hoarded away enough money to get his upgrades and soon found himself in a dim-lit basement on Wyandotte Street across the river. Crossing the Detroit-Windsor Tunnel meant passing through dwarf territory, and if it weren't for his smaller size and hooded cloak, he may have never made it. When he woke up, he had been lying on a blood-soaked mattress and unable to move for 3 days. Once he healed, he could tell the difference. Chip controlled bio-actuators in each leg, a 15-inch blade recoil in his right forearm, and a suprarenal stimulator next to his adrenaline gland. With his new upgrades, he could run faster and jump higher than most normal orc. If someone did get a hold of him, he could always squeeze the small button under the skin of his right bicep and unsheath his blade for combat. If he were injured in the encounter, the stimulator would force a massive adrenaline dump into his body, making him multiple times stronger for the next few minutes. Needless to say, he earned his place in the clan in a few days. Gelmir crouched on a small catwalk above the bellowing smokestack. His black suit blended his slender elven body into the night sky. He did not like the stench of the factory, especially with filth-ridden orc running around everywhere. He was at least glad to be high off the ground and hidden. It had been difficult enough to make his way down Dick Street to the canals. He had to swim the filthy water over to Fordson Island and locate his weapons that had been placed for him. Then there was the long swim to the short canal. At one point, some humans had spotted him in the water from an old ship near the interstate bridge. They threw debris at him, but must have known they were in the borderland of orc territory. To fire any weapon at night near orc territory was a death sentence, so they stuck to throwing garbage instead. Gelmir was too smart to let it slow him down. He knew he had no more than 23 minutes before the sun would rise enough to reveal his position. He had to place himself on the catwalk, fire his audio transmitter, and then wait for the orc leaders to start talking about their agenda. He had passed through the underwater fences, slipped past the ignorant orc guards with their massive cyclone guns at the railway bridge, crawled through the 5 separate mounds of black ore and white sand, and then scaled the catwalk, all in less than 15 minutes. It left him plenty of time to find the correct location to sight in his long rifle. Through a small opening in the metal siding of a building, 0.27 kilometers away, was a view of a large oak table and chair. The room looked like the only clean place on the island, so it was logically the correct spot. He placed his sights in the perfect location and then gave a soft squeeze on the trigger. The slight metal ping of his silenced rifle was hardly noticeable with the clanking of steel and iron ever present on the island. Gelmir made a few slight adjustments to his ear receiver and could hear the white noise of the empty room. It was not long before the disgusting orcs showed up, dressed in suits and hats poorly pieced together to fit their large, awkward bodies. Gelmir had grown to despise the orc race, despite having a close cousin being born as one. He listened to the conversations between the one called Boss and the other called Shiv. He knew he must follow Shiv into the city without being detected. Once he had heard enough, he resumed his position to conceal himself in the rising sunlight. He would remain there until sundown, slip back into the water, and then pick up the orc's trail before morning. He had no desire to stay on the island longer than necessary. Now that his wise leader, Rumil, had shown him that elemental magic was real once again, he was uneasy about the spirits of the dead. He knew that the island had once been a burial ground for the ancient natives and did not want to trespass as humans and orcs had done. Gelmir regretted his bio-upgrades now. With amplified muscular speed, enhanced vision capabilities, and audiovisual storage ports, he was meant for one purpose to his people. Despite the tremendous advantage of having upgrades, he felt as though a part of his soul was now missing, replaced by wires and plastic. Gelmir calculated that it was not a wise tactical decision at this time to speculate on his own decisions. It was better to relax and meditate instead. It was going to be a long day upon the catwalk, trying to look invisible. Getting nervous might cause him to sweat. Sweating too much would cast his scent downwind for an orc to smell. He would need his rest and confidence before making his move at nightfall.